This show was first broadcast on Free FM 89.0, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access radio station. For more information on our station and our wide range of programs, visit freefm.org.nz. Podcasting. It's easier than you think, and Free FM has everything you need, from help with initial planning right through to hosting and delivery across popular podcast platforms. Our content creators are just ordinary people delivering engaging weekly podcasts and radio shows on all sorts of issues that affect them, their communities, and our society. We're really keen to support new content by, for, and about a wide range of community groups and issues. Interested? Go to freefm.org.nz or see our Facebook page to find out more.
Welcome to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. I'm Holly Snape with Community Waikato, and I am joined today by Jamie Tokel. How are you, Jamie?
Oh, kia ora, Holly. I'm great, thank you.
I am so stoked you're here, and I know you're in various capacities. You have quite a number of hats, and I think over the years we've known each other in lots of different ways. Yeah. Today we're going to be talking about Māori Women's Māori Women's Welfare League, which is a brilliant organisation doing great work in our community. Yeah. We're also going to touch on White Ribbon because we were there earlier, and of course it's been an amazing and very important event. In your day job, you work directly with Nanaia Mahuta.
Yes.
So so you are the contact person locally for someone who needs to get a message or connect with our local minister.
Yeah, so constituent, we don't do ministerial work in our office on the corner of Victoria Street and Boundary Road, but we do deal with all constituent inquiries, which is quite a few years.
Yeah. Yeah,
yep.
So that's an important part of your role. And you're also the chair of Western Community Centre.
Yes, the chair of the Western Community Centre. Been there for quite a few years.
Yeah. So Jamie keeps busy, keeps very busy. So we're going to start, though. Why don't we start with White Ribbon, because that was a really interesting event. A beautiful day, lovely sunshine, range of walkers, of people chanting slogans and wearing white ribbons. Tell us about your interest in White Ribbon, why you were there.
Well, I've always been a supporter of women in family violence. And I've worked alongside Ronnie Albert at Te Pakaru Nuho for many years. And I've known Ronnie and Ariana for about 30 or nearly 40 years. So it's not something you just walk, step in and step out of. It's something that that sort of grows with you. And if there's anything out there that's going to be supporting that, I'm definitely going to be there.
Yeah.
White Ribbon, I think there's two sort of phases or to White Ribbon and Te Whakaru Uruho Waikato Women's Refuge. They do walk hand in hand, but they aren't. I think people get a bit confused that White Ribbon is part of Women's Refuge when actually it's they're in a group of their own.
Yes.
White Ribbon. And it's predominantly men that have started the White Ribbon bike run.
Mm.
So, and that's awesome. I mean, that's so awesome. And Ronnie absolutely is always there supporting for anything to do with White Ribbon.
So we had David White speak at the White Ribbon event. David White, of course, very sadly lost his daughter in a domestic violence incident relatively shortly after his daughter had left her abusive husband. And so, you know, very interesting hearing someone share a very tragic story, you know, of obviously, you know, a lot of pain for him and his family, but a very important message he had to share.
Yeah, that message that he shared with us today, and we're fortunate to have him there, is about family. Well, they don't really call it domestic violence anymore. They're calling it family violence, in my understanding. But he said it's shared across the spectrum of everybody. It's not just, they shouldn't just single it out to certain
ethnic groups or socioeconomic groups or cultures or class groups or whatever it is you want to call it.
That's right.
It impacts everybody, eh?
He was very clear that it's everybody.
Yeah. His son-in-law was a multimillionaire You know, very, very wealthy man. You know, and interesting because a lot of people in the community were aware of his abusive behaviour.
Yes.
You know, and that story seems common, doesn't it? That often you hear people...
Lots of people know.
Yeah.
But not many people are... I'm not saying that they are not happy to speak up, but perhaps they're not safe to speak up.
And sometimes you don't know how to speak up.
No, that's right.
Yeah. So very important message, and of course the White Ribbon message is ongoing. It's a stand against family violence. It's a stand against all violence. Mm. And of course it's about supporting people to, A, make better decisions, hopefully get some support if they are somebody who struggles with violence themselves, either as a victim or a perpetrator. You know, so really important message. We will turn to why you're here today, though. Māori Women's Welfare League. I didn't know this was another one of your hats. So tell me, first of all, what is the Māori Women's Welfare League?
Well, it's known as Te Rōpū Wahine Māori Toko I Te Ora. I'm at present the Tainui Regional President. We have about 280 members that range from Kāwhia Moana to Tauranga Moana up to Te Puha or Waikato, and then those whānau, those members actually go into Tamaki Makaurau, and we go down as far as Tikawiti. So it's quite a big...
It's a massive region.
Yeah, it's actually the Māori land boundary and not so much the Māori electorate boundary.
Of course. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? It'd be a Māori land boundary.
So it's a boundary that was... arranged, well, I guess made many years ago, and but there was some word in the wind that those boundaries are going to change for us. Yeah,
who would change those boundaries, Jamie?
Well, the National Council, the Māori Women's Welfare League, is made up of a National Council, which so we have eight regions throughout New Zealand, and we have one international branch over in Perth. Now, all the members that belong to those regions, and of those regions they have maybe 20, 30 branches. So all the members, they will hui at an annual conference every year, and those council members on the floor are the ones that make the change.
Yeah.
So they do have a top table of national executive wahine, and there's a representative of each rohe, each region that sits on that national exec. And even though they're there too, they are the national executive, they do like to put out the policies and things. It is the people on the ground, as we all know, Holly.
Yeah.
That make all the decisions.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, it's awesome. As an organisation, what is it that you're wanting to do or achieve?
What we want, because we've got quite a few members, we do want to increase our membership, because because the work that we do in the community is all our members work in those organisations, like Family Start, Turunanga or Kirikirito, Te Whakaruruho, Te Kōhau Health, you know, so all those Māori organisations, they actually absorb our members. And the members are, so people in those organisations actually do the work.
Yeah.
And it's that work that we do in the league.
Yeah.
So any one of those employees could become a member as of right, because they're already doing the work.
If they're women?
Yes. And, years ago, I have to say... it was called Māori Women's Welfare League, but when Dame Whena Cooper actually started the league.
Oh, she started it?
Yes, it was for everyone, and it was a concept from Te Puia, of course.
Yeah.
But when they started, it was for every woman and every child.
Yeah.
It just happened to be run by Māori women.
Yes.
You know? So there was no... it wasn't just... strictly for Māori women.
Yeah.
And that was because, you know, when our men went overseas to Gallipoli and all those places, and they didn't come back, their women and their partners, their wives, their girlfriends were back here, they had no... That was the only source of income, was them being in the army. So they came back. They didn't come back, and then they ended up really struggling.
Yeah, often with young families and homes and, and then no way to sustain that.
That's right. And we all know that back then that our women of New Zealand all ended up doing the men's jobs.
That's right.
So they formed the what's called the Māori Health League. So that meant any woman and child that came in, they would be able to uppie them with kai and clothes and things like that. But then it became, in 1951, it became Māori Women's Welfare League.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's 68 years old now.
Wow.
And then when it's 70 years old, we're holding that annual conference here in Hamilton.
Fantastic.
I know.
That's exciting.
I know. You might even come and do some interviews there with us, Holly.
I would love to. Yeah. I think that would just be awesome.
Yeah, so we're going to showcase Hamilton, of course, and it's going to be the 70th birthday of the Māori Women's Welfare League. And we're also working with Waikato Tainui to create an exhibition of the Māori Women's Welfare League from 1951 to to today. By then it'll be 2022.
Yeah, 22, yeah.
And in Tainui.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, so there's lots of things happening. Our branches are excited.
Yeah.
And it's hard work. I guess being the president of the league, it's hard work, you know, getting all those Māori women in one room at once. Oh, my gosh. But
how much fun when you do.
Well, they're very diplomatic.
Yeah.
And even though we're non-political.
Yeah. Is there such a thing? I don't know. how many of you are there? How many in the league locally?
In Tainui, there's, like I said, 280 members.
Wow. Yeah, that is big, eh?
Yes. And it's growing.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk specifically about some of the things that is happening, what you're doing on the ground here in Waikato Tainui, Rohi. So we'll be back very shortly.
Sometimes when this place gets kind of empty, sound of their breath fades with the light. I think about the loveless fascination under the Milky Way tonight. Lower the curtain down. Lower the curtain down, alright. I got no time for private consultation under the Milky Way tonight. Wish I knew what you were looking for. Might have known what you would find.
Little bit of some 80s music there, actually. I couldn't even tell you what we were listening to. The Church, Under the Milky Way. Do you remember that song?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I remember the tune.
You
yes.
do?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. 80s was a good time for music. Anyway, we're back. It's Holly Snape here from Community Waikato. I'm speaking to Jamie Tuckall, and today we're talking about the Māori Women's Welfare League, Jamie being the president of the local Rohi,
Tainui
region, and doing amazing stuff. I wanted to talk a little bit about what you guys are actually doing on the ground. As a league, you know, how would we in community see your presence?
Like I mentioned before, is that all our members work in the health industry, in the hospitality. You know, we tend to work in places where we care and share.
Yeah.
So, immunisation, smoking cessation, all of those things that we know aren't like the smoking, is not good for our whānau. So we're out there, sort of making sure that whānau are aware of the options and what they can do.
Yeah.
We're not there to dictate to whānau to change.
Yeah.
We're just there to, because sometimes it's nice to hear it, to have it come from their nannies and their aunties. That's why they avoid us like the plague. I guess they walk right around our stall, but we catch up with them in the end. And of course, immunisation, we're very pro immunisation in the league. We don't want our whānau to be misinformed, you know, so we're out there promoting that all the time. So all those types of things. The DHB values as well, we align our contracts with that. And one of the objectives is to make sure that five-year-olds are not eating unhealthy, and that we're educating our mamas, our young mamas, to feed our children less sugar, all of that. So that's an important thing, not just for the DHB, what they're doing, but for us as well as Māori women.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so we work very hard in that area.
Yeah, yeah. And so hugely important, those sorts of issues, aren't they? And we know historically, or certainly within the demographics and the research showing an over representation of Māori and often Māori women in things like the smoking statistics.
Yes.
And in terms of poorer health outcomes,
that's
again,
right.
Māori and particularly Māori women can be impacted by that too. So, yes, I can see how the league has a massive role to be able to play to educate, support, walk alongside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I've noticed with the with our members is that they're all starting to sort of quit sugar now, and it used to be really, you know, it was nothing to I'm guilty myself, you know, a few years ago it's nothing for me to have a Coca-Cola or a lemonade or, but I, you know, I cringe now when my mukos are drinking that, and but they never drink it around me, I have to say.
Yeah.
Good little children.
Yeah.
But it is about the sugar.
Yeah.
And our members are doing very well.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking after themselves, realising that health is everything. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, and you're right, though, too. You know, we go through these phases where things change. And, of course, it wasn't so long ago that everybody was smoking and it was completely normal.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and then we've seen the slow kind of change about, and people, you know, so demonising is probably the wrong word, but I certainly think some people probably feel a little that way, with, you know, if they're still smoking. And I think you're right, sugar's like the next thing, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I guess when I, you know, in my experience, I've never been a smoker, you know, I'm fortunate to like that, but in my experience, all my friends that have been smokers, my whānau have smoked, and it's about just educating them and supporting them.
Yeah.
And not actually, I mean, I find that a reform smoker is more hasty and
judgmental.
And,
yeah, I'm going to put my hand up as a reform smoker. And that's absolutely right. That's exactly what we are.
Yeah. Because it is hard. I mean, like I said, I've never been a smoker, but I would imagine it's very hard to try and quit.
So. Yeah, definitely. And particularly when you've still got so many family around you and friends around you who are still doing it, you know.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's really cut, like I'm looking at my own whānau there, it's really cut down.
Yeah. It is actually. And I found in my circle, I was one of the first to quit, and it was amazing how quickly actually other women around me quit smoking.
Oh,
you know, and it's interesting, and the more that did, the more wanted to, and it looked achievable.
So good on you, Holly.
Yeah, well, we got a whole circle of us that ended up not smoking, and, you know, the men eventually followed, but, you know. Hey, so this is really interesting. How do people join the league, and who qualifies?
Look, we've even though it's Māori Women, I mean, it has grown, and to a stage where it's expected that only Māori women join the Māori Women's Welfare League.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if a wahine came up to us and seeing who was, we would say tauiwi, so it would be either ethnic or European, or another culture, we would not say no.
But it's large, it's for Māori women.
Yeah. I mean, if those women are walking into our Māori like they do in, at the Wānanga,
yes,
everywhere they go, and we have a beautiful queer from Canada, and she's absolutely beautiful, and she's in the league.
Yeah,
she's in one of our branches, been a member for a very long time, but she loves Te Ao Māori.
Yeah.
So we certainly wouldn't be turning people away.
Yeah. Okay.
And if they want to join, then they could possibly call me. Shall I give my number out?
Yeah.
Okay, so 0213993.
We will repeat that a little bit later, so if you're rushing around to get a pen, you'll have a bit of time.
Or the Western Community Centre.
Yeah, just get hold of you through there.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. Is there a joining fee?
It's no joining fee, but there is an annual fee. Once you decide that you want to become a member, then we will wherever you live in Hamilton and the wider Waikato, and we will actually allocate a branch to you. So that branch will be notified, and then it's completely up to that person if they want to join that branch. Like Kawhia, for instance. I mean, why would you want to join a branch in Hamilton if you've got two branches in Kawhia? We would encourage them to be part of Kawhia, Kawhia branch, for example. And it's a $15 annual fee.
Great. I mean, that's very reasonable,
yeah,
isn't
$15.
It? Yeah. So tell me, how many branches? Do you know how many branches we have in the Waikato?
We have 9 branches, and we have about 24 all up.
Yeah.
It's about 3 or 4 unfinancial at this point.
Wow. So that's a lot. You know, which is excellent. It's obviously quite a big movement, and it's a movement right around the country.
So I'll give you an idea of the region. So we've got Tai Tokoro, which is way, way up north, and we have Tamaki Makaurau, and coming down we have Tainui, of course, and then going across we have Waiariki, which is Whakatane
Rotorua.
And then we go across to Taranaki, where we have Aotea. Coming back down the east coast, we have Ikaroa, which looks after Napier, right down to Wellington, and across into Masterton, the Wairarapa. And then from there we cross over to Waiponamu, and that whole Ireland is one region.
Wow.
Yes, I know. And then we have, of course, we have our branch, our beautiful branch in Perth.
Oh, excellent. Mm. Someone lived in Stewart Island. Would they be part of the South Island branch, would
yes.
they? Yep, yep, cool. Tell me about the Perth branch. I find that really fascinating.
The Perth branch?
Yeah.
I know. And they're so active.
Cool.
And they just celebrated this year in April, their 10th birthday.
Wow.
Now, that branch has a lovely lady in it who's got a daughter that lives here. And her daughter is Louisa Wall.
Ah.
And Louisa's mama, Josie, is part of the Perth branch, so...
Wow. Oh, yeah. That's fantastic.
I know.
And so do they start there, you know, because there is a big Māori population in Australia, isn't there?
Yes.
And yeah. so is it such a wonderful idea to stay connected and involved in something te ao Māori as well, which is...
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, if you know some of the whānau in Australia, they do have their kapa haka. They do bring their teams back for Te Matatini. Sydney have a big following, a kapa haka following, and as with Melbourne and Perth.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess we haven't ventured, and we hope that our whānau, that our members leave New Zealand and go to Australia, that they will consider opening a branch. But we haven't sort of explored that much, but I think it's a good idea that we do get over there and...
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's absolutely brilliant. Where to from here? What's the future looking like for you guys?
Well, here in we already have an office at 108 Grandview Road. So we share an office with two other tenants. One is Patients Advocacy, and the second one is Kiwi Staff, which is a young Māori guy who's like an employment broker and finds work for our rangatahi in the Hamilton West area.
Yeah.
But we work really well. We've got a good relationship with both. So we share that whare with them. But we're about to have a permanent whare there with a couple of kaimahi. We've got a contract coming to Hamilton from Oranga Tamariki, and they'll hopefully be based at our office at 108, which is going to the office will be open all the time, so if people wanting to find out more about the league, they can actually go to the office and then talk to our wahine that are there, and also and it's for 4 years, the contract, so
that's really exciting, isn't it?
I know, it is very.
That would change things hugely.
Yeah.
Can we, before we wind up, just give that number out again, that phone number?
My phone number is, and I won't be doing house calls, but 021-613-993. And you might know me as a JP. I'm a JP.
Yeah.
Well,
so. Another hat, Jamie. Another hat.
You're a JP?
Yes, I am too. Part of the club. Hey, look, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us today.
Holly. It's been great.
I'm going to get you back. We're going to talk another hat next time.
Oh, that'll be okay. Fine. Awesome. Kia ora.
You've been listening to Connect with Community Waikato, Free FM 89.0.
For more episodes of this Community Access Radio show, please visit freefm.org.nz. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this podcast possible by funding the Access Internet Radio Project.